This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. School starts today in Napoqueak, and the Kuskokwim River is flowing less than 50 feet from the Napoqueak school fuel tanks. The Alaska Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management reports that the U.S. Coast Guard is sending a facilities investigator and pollution inspector to the community this week to investigate the situation. The crew planned to arrive on Tuesday, but weather delays have pushed the trip to Thursday of this week. The U.S. Coast Guard did not respond to a request for more information by broadcast time. Napoqueak held a community meeting last week to begin considering options for retreating from the approaching Kuskokwim River and possibly relocating entirely. A Lower Kuskokwim School District representative attended the meeting and assured the community that LKSD would not allow the fuel tanks to fall in the water. He also said that two more storms, similar to the one seen in early August, could push the river to the tanks. In municipal news, the Bethel City Council could not agree last night on how to pay for lights in Pinkies Park. With members coming and going during the meeting, proposals could not get the necessary votes. In one proposal, the city would pay for the lights. In another, ONC offered to use tribal transportation funds to pay for part of the project. Council member Leif Albertson opposed the city alone spending over $150,000 on the lights.
We could spend that on anything. We could spend that on repairing pipes in housing. We could spend that on roads. We could spend that on gravel. We could spend that on all the other things that we do.
Albertson said the lighting project should be weighed against other capital expense projects in the normal budgeting process. But council member Perry Barr said these lights warranted special attention, pointing to a murder that happened on Pinkies Park boardwalk a few years ago.
That could have been deterred by bright lighting in that whole area.
Vice Mayor Thor Williams said $156,000 was a small price to pay to improve public safety.
We spent $430,000 to pave the front of this building. And we didn't bat an eye and didn't say a word. And that wasn't for health and safety. That was for cosmetic reasons.
With two members absent, the city funding lighting project didn't get the required four votes and failed to pass. But there was another item on the agenda. ONC had told the city it had enough tribal transportation funds to pay for part of the boardwalk lights, $90,000. Acting city manager Bill Howell said that was enough to get the project started.
A good start is halfway done. I mean, this gets the power onto the boardwalk. That's the main thing.
But several council members, including Vice Mayor Williams, felt it should be all or nothing.
We could have had a whole project tonight, public safety thought about and done. But sometimes we decide that it's better to be on the opposite side of public safety.
The ONC-funded idea for partially lighting Pinkies Park died as well. In statewide news, in a major reversal, Governor Mike Dunleavy announced yesterday he's agreed to restore roughly half of the funding he vetoed from the University of Alaska budget earlier this summer, and the cut would happen over 3 years instead of one. The move is one of several reversals Dunleavy has made after hearing from the public about his vetoes. Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early reports.
At a press conference, Dunleavy acknowledged that his initial cut was steep, and he and university leaders have met in the middle on this new agreement.
The three-year approach also includes understandings that the university will do certain things and my office will do certain things in support of the university's efforts to make it a better university.
Under the agreement signed by Governor Dunleavy and UA Board of Regents Chair John Davies, the University of Alaska will see a $25 million cut in funding for this budget year, which began on July 1st. The next 2 years would see cuts of $25 million and $20 million for a three-year total of $70 million. When Dunleavy vetoed University of Alaska funding from the operating budget in June, it left the university with a $135 million-sized hole in funding, representing about 40% of total state support. Board of Regents Chair Davies says that the agreement should make the UA community less anxious about the university's fiscal future.
Most importantly, the governor's supplemental operating budget provides much more certainty and confidence for our students, staff, faculty, and the communities we serve. One of the biggest problems has been the uncertainty. I think that this agreement will provide a great deal of certainty so we can begin the process of moving forward together.
The governor's vetoes also led the Board of Regents to make two major financial decisions. The first was to declare financial exigency, which makes it easier to fire faculty, including those with tenure. The second was the recommendation that the university be consolidated from three accredited universities to one. UA President Jim Johnson says that the decision to reverse the declaration of exigency is up to the board, but he anticipates a smaller number of layoffs than previously announced. Johnson also said that even with the reduced cuts in the compact, he still supports moving the university system to a single university model.
I think the university is spending too much of its share of resources, whether it's whatever the number is, on administration and administrative overhead. And I want to put a larger share of whatever money we're allocated from the state and from our students, tuition, from research grants and contracts. I want that money going to academics and student services and less of it going to to administrative structure.
Classes at the University of Alaska begin in 2 weeks on August 26th. The uncertainty budget cuts created for students, staff, and faculty left many people unsure about whether or not they'd stay with the university. Johnson says while the agreement comes only days before the school year starts, the entire UA community should be optimistic.
We're open for business. As Regent Hughes said in our recent meeting, we've been here 100 years. We're going to be here in 100 years. We've been very strong in putting as our top priority our students and the academic programs they're in. So I think with this three-year agreement, we'll be able to ensure that our students all across the state have access to the programs they need.
The next step for the University of Alaska system will be to review options for consolidating from three separate accredited universities down to one. That's set to occur at their next Board of Regents meeting on September 12th and 13th. In Anchorage, I'm Wesley Early.
Also yesterday, Governor Mike Dunleavy announced that he will fully restore funds to early learning in the state. The restoration totals about $9 million and includes $6.8 million to Head Start and $1.2 million to early childhood grants. It's one of several veto reversals the governor has made this week. Dunleavy said at a press conference that the reversal was a result of advocacy from Alaskans.
What became pretty clear, I think, to everybody is that Alaskans value our elders, our seniors, and we value our children, our youngest, and that's our future.
Dunleavy says the state has a large deficit to overcome and maintains that his vetoes were a way to, quote, start a conversation about what Alaskans value. He says he doesn't anticipate vetoing early learning funding in the future.
My hope is that we wouldn't go this route in terms of Head Start and our senior programs. I don't know what the budget is going to be next year. If oil drops to $30 a barrel, we're going to all have to have a different conversation. But I want to get ahead. No pun intended. I want to get a head start on the budget this year in the fall with the legislators.
Patrick Anderson is CEO of Rural Alaska CAP, a nonprofit that operates Head Start programs throughout the state. Anderson says he's happy the governor reversed his veto, but uncertainty around funding has already caused employees to leave.
Words have impact. We need to have the conversations beforehand. So that we don't experience these kinds of changes. So our staff, we do have regular turnover, and I'm not sure how much of it's turnover, but the expression was is that the uncertainty was a little bit much for them.
Head Start's reach extends across Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta communities. This is KYUK News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Thanks for listening. Please send your news tips to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for the news Yukdun coming up.